number is area code 515-602-9696. That is 515-602-9696. 515-602-9696. 515-602-9696. So again, I love you too, Queen. Area code 515-602-9696. Area code 515-602-9696.
Don't
hesitate to keep watching.
You know what I'm saying?
We're
not going to be over there much longer.
Not at all,
because
I wasn't narrowing what we need to. But here's the thing, we got 2 or 3 different segments here too. Interrupted a few times, like, it don't even make sense given time periods on live. But again, sir, area code. Okay, good. Okay.
Good. I got to push you in, brother.
Let me make sure that's him. Let me see. What he said, number is 985? Okay, Black Power, you on, brother? Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's me. It's Elton Doppler Moore.
What's
Black
your
Black
name?
Power, how are you doing? What I was saying was this. Algernon Doppler Moore.
Black Power, good brother.
Yes. Let me take my headphones on. I'm not trolling. I was saying some things that I noticed. Like, I have 2 sons.
Yeah.
And they take all these medicines for all these disorders
that
they claim that they have. But it seems like the medicines make them worse. You know?
Well, before you finish, brother, I thank you for that. You know, sometimes... And I do kind of part, because I know I kind of talked a certain kind of way where I was like, but you know I got to be like that too, you know what I'm saying? You never know if somebody is trolling, you know what I'm saying? And
yes, sir.
Based on the fact that we didn't got knocked off a few times. But what I was going to say is that what you were stating is true, but I want you to finish it because everybody needs to hear what you're saying. Go ahead and say it again.
Right. It's like I have 2 sons. And they both, they diagnose them with stuff like ADHD, and when they go to school down here in Louisiana, they say it's 504 and 1508 and all these different codes for their behavior.
Yeah.
And it's like you're under a rock in the hard place. You know, they do a lot of things. They argue at their mom. They curse. The medicines make them worse. It's like they're trying to hurt each other.
Right.
And then me as a Black man, if I try to spank them or do anything, especially down here, it's like you messed up if you do right, and you messed up if you don't do anything. Like, it's like, what do you do? I had him running after his brother with a knife the other day, and I had to run behind that joke. I'm 42 years old. You're talking about a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old. You know?
And I'm going to tell you something. It is true that many of an occasion, and I said 9 out of 10 times, they are misdiagnosing our babies, and it's medical malpractice, especially with what you said, ADHD. See, it's been proven across the board in empirical sciences that what Black African children can do at age 2 and age 3, white European children begin at 5, 6, and 7. And it also proves that Black African children learn by observation, participation, and stimuli and activity. So they know that our children are intelligent, and the more active Black children tend to be the smartest children. So what they've done is they've come up with conspiracies. And what's his name? Dr. Leon Eisenberg, who's the father of ADHD, he made it clear that it was something fictitious that he made up. Now, I'm not saying that sometimes there may be something or some kind of issues people can have, but 9 out of 10 times it ain't true. And what you're saying is absolutely correct. And we as parents, we have to, for the most part, not allow them to misdiagnose our babies. For years, I've worked with our National Minister of Education to go in these schools and to deal with this misdiagnosis of Black children, and have actually been able to have a lot of children who have been misdiagnosed, no longer on medication and no longer in special classes and things like that because they have been misdiagnosed. But you're right, brother. And and that kind of those things have to stop. And it is a crime against your family and you too.
Yes. Yes. Not just noticing.
It is a crime.
Like, more and more, is they're doing so much, but people are not paying attention.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes,
it's
indeed.
Crazy.
And it goes right along with music and what our children are watching. That goes with it too.
Brother,
the music,
I tell you what.
The music
plays
a big part.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
It plays a big part because, it, you know, music has a way to social of socially engineering people. Has
right.
a way. There's a brother who, my daughter, she was just born. Oh, Ashe, Black Power. Brother just had a make an announcement. We have brother Tuatira, Mark Pitar, and his daughter, Tira Nika Mayad Africa Brown, was just born at 6:50 last night. Revolutionary Love and Black Power. Is that Eastern or is it Eastern time, good brother, or Pacific? Pacific, Eastern, Eastern at 6 would be 3 at our Pacific. But back to you, good brother. Was it Dopamore, right?
Dopamore, but yeah.
Dopamore, good brother.
Yes, sir.
So I definitely appreciate your input. And, you know, wherever you need our assistance, indeed, we're here. You know, I'm here. I'm sure you've been listening for a while. Ashe, brother, my patah, very good. Very, very good. Congrats to you and your family. I'm sure you've been listening for a while, and if you have not been listening for a while, you know, definitely you can go back to the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/Revolutionary Black Panther Party or right here on this live feed. You can go to the other ones that are here because they've been playing with this all night. They've been playing with our feed. I've never seen a time limit on a Facebook Live, but they were giving us a few seconds and things like that. But I'm definitely would be willing to help you, you know, and to help your family, you know, to as much and as best as can, as I can and as we can, to deal with whatever kind of circumstances prescription medicine has put them through. Because, again, I mean, there are some serious cases where, let's say, for example, somebody has a psychotic episode, you know, and they're schizophrenic. It is true that antipsychotics can help to regulate what's going on, but I say 9 out of 10 issues that it's foolishness and targeting the people. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what I'd like to express to you, but I do thank you for calling in. I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you for calling in, and, of course, send your family our love. And if you want me to, I'll lock your number in and be in further communication with you if you'd like, brother.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Very good, very good. And if at any point you're interested in being involved with us, we have very important programs that we do throughout the country. Definitely we can use all the support, or the people can actually, the community needs all the support that they can get. Would you be willing and interested in helping in that way as well, coming out or
yes,
joining or anything like that?
Yes, sir.
Very good. So
absolutely.
Ashe. And let me make sure I got you jotted down, and I look forward to being a correspondent with you, good brother. Send my love to the family, Revolutionary Love and Black Power. Let me make sure I got you, 86. Let me see, you got two numbers, brother?
Yes, sir. This is my home phone. Yes, sir.
Okay, let me put the other phone in. I'll put the other phone in right now. Good thing I didn't call that out. Nobody, I don't want nobody calling home. Let me see. It's 6. The other number is 686-3260, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. So I'm writing you in right now. Again, thank you for your input and support and for calling in. And we'll be in touch. Revolutionary Love of Black Power, good brother.
Black Power.
Same to you. Black Power. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. You're welcome, brother. Anyone else who want to call in? The line is open. I made a line. Brother Mahapatar, if you want to call in, you can call in and make that announcement here. The number is 515-602-9696. 515-602-9696. You can call in, Brother Mahat. Sister Jefferson, I want you to call in. I actually want to, for real, call in. 515-602-9696. I want you to call in, sister. I'm gonna give y'all about. I mean, you know it's late. I'm gonna give a good like 5 more minutes for everybody. You know, to call in. What I do want to say before we fully like close out is this: So I talked about the healing that we have, but we also have to have cathartic healing. It's along the lines of you talking about, Sister Jefferson, but let me explain this to you, cathartic healing. See, in psychology, when it comes to therapy and when it comes to getting into the gist of curatives and preventatives, cathartic healing is one of the best forms of healing. And a catharsis is, for the most part, an emotional release, you know, like that. And we need that as a people. I'm getting to this whole thing with this whole Trump thing we were supposed to touch. And so I got to get into that. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be closing up. So what's up with this whole particular Trump thing? Do understand that Donald Trump is mm-hmm. the new Hitler.
Yep.
Donald Trump is the new Hitler. Again, Donald Trump is the new Hitler. And this regime is the new Nazi regime. And you, people of African descent, melanated people, you are the official targets of this new regime.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have all those folks out there in Charlottesville that was done by design. And we're going to get into where Brother DeAndre Harris was at when about 30 to 50 white folks beat him up. Do you know where he was actually at? That was actually at the police station.
I knew you were going to say that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they beat,
that don't make no sense.
They beat the brother up. 35 to 55 crackers attacked his brother at the police station.
And the police was probably out there with him.
Absolutely.
I know they was out there.
Absolutely.
Some of them
were the police, you know.
It
was at the police station where DeAndre Harris got beat up. That was a genocidal attack.
At the
police station, yeah.
This man got beat up at the police station. Just imagine if it was a white dude.
Right.
They would have the Army, the National Guard, the Navy, everybody out there.
Understand the serious dynamic of this. That helicopter was shot down by them folks. Like, it's a whole deep, serious thing going on. So when I talk about cathartic healing, we have to have it. Let me tell you something. And I'm saying this to the white races and anyone else who's down with them. What you did in Charlottesville would never and could never happen. Not you kind of crackers. Not at all. Let me tell you something. Anywhere I am and you try that shit in self-defense, in lawful self-defense, in lawful combatant action, you have a bullet between your eyes. If you ever did any kind of violative, genocidal, terroristic action or threats against any black person, my family, or any human being, not on my watch, dude, so it won't happen, ever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other part. Now, the next thing, what happened in Charlottesville, ain't happening nowhere else. Ain't happening nowhere where I am. Sister, you can call back in. I get you. I saw you. Call back in. I saw your number. Call back in, 515-602-9696. Call back in. I did see your number. Call back in. You can call right back in. So that's the other part. But so the solution, we must have a cathartic healing. Cathartic healing. Frantz Fanon told us about having a catharsis for the assaults and attacks against our minds and our persons and all that other good stuff. We must have a cathartic healing. We must have a catharsis. And in a cathartic healing, there is liberation and the annihilation of anyone coming to attack you. And cathartic healing. Healing and the killing and medicine and the murder, if you have to, in self-defense. Here comes the sister. Black Power, your line is open.
Black Power.
Hello.
Black Power, you on, sister?
Oh, you know what? I'm glad y'all let me get through on the line, because you know what? This is the epidemic. This is bad. Everybody talking about how, okay, I understand what they're talking about, the pills and all this and all this. They had me on some damn Remeron. They had me on everything you could think of. And I cut that shit out because you know what? I was able to function. Talking about I was crazy and all this. Come to find out, they found that I had a little hole in my brain. But you know what? I'm not going to lie. Our kids, they need to be talked to, black kids. But they also need chastisement. And I'm going to keep it real because I have three boys. I have three kings. And I try my hardest not to put my hands on them. But I'm a single mother because their father passed. And so with that being said, I'm the one standing in the gap. So sometimes they try to challenge me because I give them because I'm the only woman in the home, and I give them what I try to give them as far as the best. but I run up on them like I'm a man. And they need that. Everybody that's on this line that's listening, they need to cut them damn pills out. Don't fool with them damn pills. They dangerous because they tried to put me on them. Whoop that ass. They need that ass whooped.
Now, listen, now here's the thing, she's talking about discipline. This is a couple of different forms, but again, like I said, it's something that I don't...
Discipline don't work with our kids. That talking
okay,
shit don't work with our kids, because you know, let me tell you what it is. They done went to these schools, and these white folks then told them different. See, that's our problem. They done went to these schools and these white folks and told them fucking different. So they think they don't have to listen to us. They think they can call the police. They can do it. I caught a case behind my son. I beat his ass and I called the police myself and told them that if you don't come get me, I'm going to kill this little nigga. Okay, that's how crazy I am.
Now, here's the thing now. Here's the issue for ministers. So check this out. See, what you're talking about is discipline, period. You're talking about discipline. Now, as far as beating and hitting when it comes to discipline, you know, those are different things. But discipline is discipline. You're talking about discipline. Now, it's difficult for a woman dealing with boys because children do need a balance. Let's keep it 100. Children need a balance. They need that male and they need that female. As a matter of fact, it's proven scientifically that the brain in a child is developed by father and mother's voice. So for functional purposes, children do need both. Even if it's just uncle or brother or grandfather, they need a male there to help. And so it does become an imbalance when a woman has to raise males by herself. And yeah, I know by cases where women grab, you know, have to grab their little sons up and do all kinds of things because they don't listen to them, and men are different in development than girls are. But I will say this.
It's a big difference. It's a big difference because Brother, listen, it's a big difference because you know what? Even with kids that's raised in a two-parent home, you got the mother saying yeah and you got the father saying no. So the kid feels like they have an advantage over one parent. And with that being said, that's why the Bible, well, beyond the Bible, God says you are to be equally yoked. So children feel like they can play the role and work one against the other. So one is going to say no and one is going to say yes. And that's just how it goes. And kids are sharper than what we think we are because they're going to school, they're listening to their friends, and they're seeing how this game is being ran. But see, we have to be sharper than that. And with that being said, when it goes down, mother needs to talk to father and say, well, what just went down? Did your son or did your daughter just come to you? And I told that child no or whatever. See, when we're too busy and our mind is occupied on society and other bullshit that's going on around, we can't focus on what's going on in the home. So then, therefore, the child feels like they have the higher advantage over us. But see, me as being a single mother, I'm playing a role of the mother and the father. So I'm focused on both ends. Lord forbid that something happens to me. But I'm beating that ass.
All right, now check this out. Now, listen for a moment, okay? Again, what we're talking about is discipline. That's number one. And what you're stating as far as how some children are, when it comes to parents, I mean, that happens at times, but that's not really how it always is. I mean, in a functional home, both parents...
No, it's not good. That's because it's not good because of what the white folks have installed. That's not good because of what the white folks have installed. That's not good because of how... But listen to me. That's not good as to why statistics have installed. But listen, you don't always have to put your hands on... Listen, you don't always have to put your hands on the child. Because I've noticed that. Ooh. I can look at my boys now, and my boys understand me through my eye contact. But beforehand, I had to discipline them. But as of now, all I have to do is look at them and get silent, and they feel me.
Indeed. Right. Well, you know what? So you understand it. Now, let me explain this now. I will say this now. Give me a moment to explain this. Okay, first and foremost, what we're dealing with, we're talking about is discipline. That's number one. Okay, the second thing is this. The second thing is the fact that you do have situations where it gets dysfunctional among the parents. Where one parent gets in and one parent does this, but that's not functional. But my parents, co-parents, and they understand what they're supposed to do collectively as a father and as a mother, the decisions are made within the group. And the children are functional from that level because there ain't no decision being made if mama don't have a say and if daddy don't have a say. So it's not both ways. Secondly, as a single parent, it's always hard. Especially for a single black father with boys. And I know I've heard of all parents. Some boys, because
thank
they
you.
Have no daddy around, they got extension cord with them. Because that's just basically what happened because there's no father around. But my point is that, this is another serious broadcast for another time, is this. We have to establish that if there is no daddy in the home, we still have male in the home. That's a part of our
thank
repair.
You.
That's another discord, another topic for another time.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
If there's that husband in the home, or that big brother in the home, or that granddad in the home, or whoever he is, that male friend in the home, that son knows, if he get out of line, he going to come and say, boy, you better cut that out right now. He'll stop it.
Okay, but see,
and
now, listen.
Mommy's not a man, but listen carefully now. Mommy is not a man, and a boy knows
no,
he's a boy. You know how he climb on the tree, fall off, and all that stuff? So then mommy got to do things aggressively because men, I mean, one of our physical strengths is being physically aggressive. And one of the women's strengths is being physically aggressive.
Okay, now listen, I hear what you're saying. I'm talking about in the beginning.
Or acting to the male. And the language and the behavior that he understands as a male, that's what you end up doing because as men, we are physically aggressive. As women, y'all are naturally passively aggressive. That ain't no opinion. That is a psychological fact of how our brains are. So in essence, when it comes down to it, you got to do how you have to do it because you dealt with a child. But I'm saying as a people, in order to get past having to do that, we got to establish that we got males in the home.
It affects me. It affects me because I think about slavery and I think about what my brothers went through. And I feel like, why should I have to spank my child to get him to understand? But see, now my kids have come to the age as to where my son is 20. I don't have a problem with my 20-year-old. When I say son, or whatever, he does what's supposed to be done. He washes clothes. He takes care of his mama. He's showing his brothers the way. And so with that being said, it's a learning thing with my children. And so I'm sitting down with my younger ones as being a single mother, and I'm teaching them. But I don't even have to touch my kids anymore because all I have to do is say, I'll have to call my son, Russ. Your brother is doing this, and he'll run, and then the other kids are just bow down because they already know it's a dominant male in the home because my older son, he does not talk back. He does not do any of those things, and he never was chastised. He was spanked a little bit by grandma, but not that much. He was able to get himself up for school and go to school and do what he had to do. But my 13-year-old, he comes from a family up to where he feels like he has to be dominant. But he knows now when I call his older brother, he's like, okay, Mom, I'm okay. I'm good. Because you know what? You see that male dominant in the home. See, my 20-year-old is home with me, and he lives with us now. See, it was just me and my 13-year-old and my baby. So now it's understandable. And so I don't have to put hands, and that's a good thing. But what I'm saying is if you're a single mother, and sometimes you may have to, and see, I don't use a belt. My thing is I'm going to grab you by your shirt. I'm going to put you up against the wall, and I'm going to let you know because it ain't going to be no Columbines around here. It ain't going to be no, oh, I'm chilly, willy, willy. Oh, I killed my mommy. Ain't none of that shit. I'm black, nigga, and your ass is black, too, and you have a name. Your name is Daniel. Your name is such and such or whatever your name is. I'm not going to call you a nigga because I'm not going to call you what the slave owners called us. You have a name, but you were respected. respect me as your mother because slavery is over. Slavery is over, but you will not disrespect me, and I will show you something. And I'm not going to whoop you with a belt. I'm not going to beat you like a slave. I'm going to grab you by your shirt, and I'm going to put you up against that wall, and I'm going to let you know who's running the show. Because you will not kill me like little Billy killed his mama. Okay? Straight up. You got to, because these kids is out of control. All kids is out of control. And it's because these mothers are giving them whatever they want. Let me tell you something. I didn't even go school shopping for my kids this year. I didn't buy my son anything. I did not. I did not. I bought him, only thing I bought him was socks and underclothes. You know why? Because I told him you're going to wear what you wore next year. He's a football player. He's not playing this year because you know why, Colin Kaepernick? You're not going to play. If anything, I might let you play basketball, but I'm not going to let you enjoy with that, with the bullshit that's going on. And he's a professional. Let me tell you why. My son, they had him playing running back, fullback, quarterback. They had him playing all positions. But they were not blocking my son. And I told them I refused to let my son get hurt. Fucking with you white folks.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let it happen because you're not paying him and he is only 13 years old. And I'm not going to let you hurt him because if this is his dream and this is what he wants to do, you will not kill him. I took him off the football team a year and ago and a half. A year and a half ago, I sure did. Before all this went down, because I seen it happen, I seen a little boy get hurt, and a helicopter had to airlift that boy off the field. His back was broken. He was younger than my son. Now, I'm not going to let you do that, because you got my son leading the pack, but you're not blocking him. I don't give a damn about you having this San Francisco player out here and he's black telling me my son is going to be the best. You're not going to do my son like that. He's off the team, and I took him off the team in the middle of the season. I was already with the shit. I'm not going to do it.
Indeed.
I'm not going to do it. Because you're not going to make my son play all five positions and nobody block him. You're not going to hurt him. If this is what he wants to do, you're not going to hurt him before it's time for him to make his goal, which is 12th grade. Scholarships are coming. I even had to promise to my son, I told him I would scrub floors for him to go to the high-ranking high school to play football. And you know what my son told me? He said, Mama, I understand you don't want me to get hurt. I'll just play basketball. So if I'm not doing a good job, I know I am. And his brother is here. And I'm not falling for the shit. And my thing is, all us need to stick together. I'm not with no racial shit, but my whole thing is, all of us is to stick together. And my thing is, if we killing one another, it'll never be the same. Our people don't understand that. You out there shooting people over tennis shoes. You out there shooting people over, oh, he got my girlfriend. He got my, well, if your bitch wasn't that goddamn loose, you wouldn't have a damn problem. So check your bitch. And I'm keeping it real. Check your bitch. Or maybe you need to check yourself and reevaluate your goddamn mind because you with the wrong hoe. Ain't no woman. Let me tell you something. I done did shit. I stripped for a whole week, and my mother told me, get your ass out that life. It's not for you. And I dropped down to my knees. The Italian man called me to the bottom of the floor with pounds of money. He said, this is not for you. And I let that life go. I stripped for 1 week, and I let it go. And then I went to selling dope, and it wasn't for me because you know what? I seen I was killing my people, so I let it go. You have to want to change. And then half of these people claim they with the nation, and they claim they with all this, and they claim they with Islam and all this, but they willing to take $1 million, just sacrifice themselves for some bullshit. Let me tell you something. If you really with the shit, You're going to stand up and stand up for what's right. Ain't no money going to change you. Let me tell you why, because I just canceled my insurance policy. Let me tell you why, because I got burial, nigga. I got a burial policy. Like my mother said, what do you need life insurance for when you got ground already paid for $10,000? I said, I don't even need that ground. Cremate me. She said, but what do you need insurance? The insurance people is making money off us, and they'll kill us soon.
Yeah. That's true.
But y'all sitting up here paying $20, $30 a month for an insurance policy. Why do that when all you need is some ground? And if you don't want no ground, all you need is burial insurance. So why do that? Why kill yourself? Why give them people options? Because they working with the enemy on you. You're going to die. And then it's so many people that's out here saying, I'm with the nation. I'm with this. I'm with that. I'm with that. But I'm looking at people, and they don't know I'm on the outside looking in. I have an intuition because God speaks to me, baby. He talks to me. And I'm like, are y'all willing to take money from a stripper? And you don't even know this bitch giving y'all blood money. She didn't kill somebody. Oh, checkmate, check, motherfucking gang. And I ain't exploiting nobody. My thing is, where's your loyalty? Where's your heart? My thing is, there's so many grants out here. I didn't call people, and they said there's so much money out here. All you got to do is write a proposal, sister. And if 20 people... If 20 people accept you because you done wrote one proposal, you can get as many grants as you want. You can get all 20. And it's money that's to you that you don't have to pay back. So how dare you sell your own people? You're not who you say you are. You ain't shit. You ain't shit. You willing to kill. It's so many black people out here committing insurance fraud. I had it happen to me. The insurance company sent me a letter saying, add a third. If you want to add third party, write us a letter. I said, I never wanted to add a third party. I had my kids on there. And I told them, if my kids die at the age of 35 or before, then the money is to be donated to Africa, to the Nelson Mandela Foundation, to the children that need books. These bitches sent me a motherfucking letter saying somebody tried to be added. So they went through my shit through Social Security. Yo, why Social Security? I worked all my life. I worked at the age of 14. I started working at 14, pregnant with my baby. I had a baby young by a man that was with the nation. And they tried to fuck me. I canceled my policy and told them bitches, give me all my motherfucking money back. I'm waiting on my check right goddamn now. Because you know what? You won't play with me. I told you to add my kids. My kids is 1, 2, 3. I got 3 boys. That's a third party. So how the fuck you sending me a goddamn letter talking about the third party? That means somebody else called up there and tried to get added on it. So cancel the whole policy. But I already got ground I paid $10,000 for. I'm ready to be buried. Cremate me and put me in the ground. Whatever you want to do, I got ground. You got to watch these people. These white folks is full of shit. Everybody full of shit, even your own goddamn people. They'll sell you out for chicken shit. They ain't shit. And what I'm saying is, they're not going to stop killing us until we stop killing us.
Right.
We're
indeed,
selling
indeed.
Out for
and
their
that's
ass.
Indeed. And
it's
you
our
know
own
that,
people. It's our own people. It's
right.
our own people, sister.
Right.
You hear me,
right.
sister. I hear her in the background. It's our own people selling us out. So, like I said,
right.
y'all better do what I did. Get you some ground. Cancel your debt. I said it's not even worth me giving my kids my life insurance. I said it's worth me more getting these grants, this free money that they're going to give me. I wrote a proposal for these free grants where I ain't got to pay back. And I can buy property. and I can leave my kids a piece of property. It's worth more for me to leave them a piece of property. I went to real estate school. It's worth more for me to buy them a piece of property, get insurance on the property. If I die, the insurance will pay off the property, and leave them with some money that will pay off the property tax for a few years till they get their shit straight versus leaving them a fucking insurance policy. Because why leave your kids a $200-something policy and somebody else going to steal it? Either it's going to be your family, your friend, or your fucking foe.
Indeed, indeed. Well, I definitely thank you for the word, the message you left tonight, and also for calling in so you could explain how it was written so we could get a clarity on it. And it's definitely clear and understandable. Also, the thing is, as fathers hurting each other, that's what these broadcasts are all about, us not doing that anyways is what I mean, and for us to be able to repair from the damage, because it's true, until we identify with the problems are amongst us, why we suffer the way we suffer, why we do the things we do, because it's easy for us to say we're harming each other, killing each other, but if we don't have a way to identify why and to stop why, then we're not going to do it. And that's why we've been killing each other and doing all this stuff for so long, because
we got to identify our own people. I'm from Oakland.
Right,
I'm from Oakland, brother. I'm from Oakland. I've seen some of my own brothers riding in the back of the police car, riding down the street, ghost riding the whip. And I said, you straight ass niggas. I said,
you
straight ass niggas with
this
shit, but y'all riding in the back of the police car with the white man.
Are you currently in Oakland right now? How far are you from Oakland now?
I moved from Oakland. I'm in Modesto. My boyfriend got killed in front of me. I don't fuck with Oakland. I don't fool with Oakland. My boyfriend got killed in front of me. So I'm a living testimony. I'm still alive. Why did you bitches leave me alive? Get it?
Right. But I tell you what, I definitely I'm going to take your number now, and I'll be in touch and communication with you if that's cool. Is that good?
Praise the Lord. It's all good. I ain't mad. I respect you and that sister. I respect the unity because you know what? I've had that. But I got so much family, and people always tell me, oh, well, this and that. I didn't even know till I canceled my insurance policy. It was worth $200-some thousand. I said, well, you bitches was bound to kill me. Y'all was going to buy a house off my black ass. I said, you bitches, I canceled that shit. You got to watch people, and you got to make sure your shit is straight. The best thing to have, like my mother told me, cancel your insurance policy and get burial insurance. Because your ground is already paid for. I said, Mommy, you sure it's right. Burial insurance covers your opening and closing of your grave.
Indeed.
You don't need all
indeed.
That other shit. Because all they're going to do is try to kill your kids. You got to protect your children. I want you and your sister, you and your woman, to protect your children. It's not worth having life insurance. If you're going to do anything to give something to your kids, get property, and your property, I went to real estate school. You can get insurance through your property as to where if you die, it'll pay off your home if you die.
Right, indeed. Well, I definitely, you're right, and thank you for the information, and thank you for calling, and I'm going to be in touch with you, sister. Peace and
black tell the rest of them, they better spare their rides for that child. You better, if them kids run up on them, they will whoop that ass. Because you know what? I'm a single mother with three boys, and I'm going to whoop that ass because they ain't going to run up on me like I'm some motherfucker Judah. Hey, check this out. What was them? The Menendez brothers? Oh, fuck that. We ain't having that. Hey, if you look at my page, you'll see. I went to the gun range, and I put 13 in the nigga head. I ain't playing that shit. The Lord said, I brought you in this world. I take your ass out. You ain't going to run up on me like that. And I do not want to hurt my children. But I tell you this much, they know better. And if you know better, you'll do better.
I'm going to share something with you now next time. If you go to the archives, it's www.blogtalkradio.com/revolutionizedblackpantherparty. And I covered that. I call it the Eddie King Jr. disorder. And you got to check it out. And that's exactly what it is. But we'll speak again. Revolutionary Love and Black Power Queen.
Black Power Queen.
Call out of area code 470-7200. Last four digits 470. Last 470-200. Black Power, you on?
Black Power, yes, I'm here. I just want to know
Black Power,
where
how you
I
doing tonight,
connect. I'm blessed, and yourselves. I just want to know where I can connect in my area to
what city are you
established?
In
Atlanta.
One more time, Queen. You where?
Atlanta.
Atlanta. I definitely will put you in touch with the right people. Let me get your number. I mean, I got your number. I'm just writing it down. 7200. And what I'll do is I'll get you connected. So you're interested in joining?
Yes. I have been since
good.
I was in the field.
Very good. Very good. What's your name, Quinn?
My name is Robin.
What's your name?
Robin.
One more time, it went out. Robin.
Robin.
Robin, okay, very good. So I'm right. Robin, right?
Yes.
Very good. So I'm writing you down. I got your name and number, and I will get you connected and get you processed, and definitely we'll look forward to having you on board, Queen.
Black Power, Queen.
Ashe, King and Queen.
Ashe, Black Power. So I get you connected, and again, look forward to having you
Black
on board,
Power.
Queen.
I look forward
Black
to hearing
Power.
From somebody.
Thank you, Queen. Thank you.
That's good.
Very, very good. So anybody else are interested in calling in, 515-602-9696, 515-602-9696, as we near on the end. So here's the thing, a message called Cathartic Healing. Understand this, family. I've been hearing a lot of things that have upset me about this Trump thing. I've heard it on Black Talk Radio. I've heard it on the news, all this stuff, and they say all sorts of silly things. One thing they say is that as a people, we shouldn't be armed. We should always know it's imperative that we protect and defend ourselves. We have a human right to protect and defend ourselves against anyone putting our life in imminent threat or danger or committing a criminal act against us or any form of violence, no matter even what their occupation is, as long as the crime that they're committing against us.
Right.
So the point is that we have a right to protect and defend ourselves. And understanding that and acting that out is a form of healing. It's a cathartic healing, taking away the actual defenselessness that you feel where you can't protect yourself and your family. No. We must establish, as a part of the healing, curative, and preventative, that Black life is important. And if Black life is important, then we must be willing and able to defend it with everything that we have. No longer should we just be hands up, don't shoot, roll over, play dead, sitting. No. We must be willing to lawfully protect and defend our life with everything we have. And once we have that established, what you saw that went down there in Charlottesville wouldn't happen anymore, talking about us, because we'll be in that position. And when you are in that position and you're properly trained in that position, then it won't matter who's trying to come at you with. You're gonna take them down. And you're going to take them down lawfully with fatal force. So that's a part of the cathartic healing, because in cathartic healing, again, there is liberation and the annihilation, healing and the killing and medicine, indeed, in the murder, in self-defense, lawfully speaking. So I'm not trying to say go out there and do any of that. I'm saying to protect and preserve life. If life is put in imminent threat or danger, that is the response to it.
Right.
That way we stop Emmett Till's.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, if somebody in Emmett Till's house that night, it wasn't a bunch of people that came to that house. If somebody in that house that night was properly armed and used it, he'll still be alive. Understand it. They came to that house armed, and it wasn't a bunch of people that came. A lot of those lynchings would be stopped if we were properly armed and we were able to do so. A lot of this stuff that goes on wouldn't happen. If we not just armed, but ready and prepared and trained to use it effectively and properly.
Right. Well, how many of us can really say that? I'm not including myself, but how many of us can really say we know how to use a gun or even own a gun?
Right.
We're too afraid to pick up a gun and use it properly. We don't have to necessarily have a gun and use it on each other. We use it in self-defense on the internet.
Right. We all be knowing that using on each other stuff. And I'm going to explain something. It's just simple stuff. On the simple side, we got to be able to handle Wow, this is my sidearm. I carry this. This is a 40 I carry with me at all times. But I'm gonna just show you something. This is just as simple things we should know. And simple ways to handle our weapons. Like for example, I'll show you in a minute. Make sure that's good. My damn hands are goddamn slippery too. Y'all give me a second. You can go talk while I'm doing it. I'm just trying to. But
yeah, we have to learn how to properly use firearms. We have the right to have firearms. We have the First and Second Amendment that applies for us too. And whatever they want to say, but they want to go by their little amendments. We have the right to do it too. We have the right to bear arms. So I'm saying, so it's just something we should be able to.
So we should have our firearms down to that kind of science, so we're able to take it apart. We know how to break it down. We know exactly. We know what the slot. Well, we got automatic, anyways. You know which part is what. You know all of that. Where your barrel is. You know how to clean it. You know all these different things. We should be able to do certain things with our firearms and not just have them to have them. That's the other part, too. But, again, we provide training in our RVPP.
And provide license carry.
Yeah, carry license as well. That's my side on.
And I carry one also.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. and it's important that we all are trained. Especially the queens, because when it goes down, it goes down. So if anybody have any questions or statements at this point in time, 515-602-9696. I open up to one more caller.
Right.
515-602-9696. 515-602-9696. I open to one more caller.
So what about these Trump stuff, man? He's talking about was George Washington a slave owner? Should we lower his status because he was a slave owner? Should we take away his statue because he was a slave owner? Thomas Jefferson.
Copy that. To Jermaine, definitely. We'll get you now too. Let me actually write down your name.
I'm gonna let him do this and I go back to what I was saying.
Let me see. All right, so I got your name written out. I definitely get you situated as well. Make sure, yeah, that's correct.
Turn my hair so I would.
No, yeah, nah, yeah, yeah. The phone is up. Yeah,
so I got to turn my head like that and look at it. But anyway, but he was saying also, Thomas Jefferson was a major slave owner. So does that mean did we take away his statue? Okay, do what you want to do. You're changing history. You're changing culture. Changing their history and changing their culture. So that means that their culture and their history was based off of slavery. Of course, we know that. But he's just telling us right then, America, Black America should understand that. Black people should see the life and the state that we're living in right now and the economy that we're living in. It's a state of emergency. We need to pay attention to this stuff like that. We can't just keep looking over and think it's going to change or, oh, it's going to go over. And then they try to do something, you know, they try to say ISIS did something to cover up and basically get people off of it.
Yeah.
That's
not even real. But you got to think about the desperation because it was like somebody got ran over. But here's the thing, and this is what I need everybody to understand. And we got to be careful how we retain information, how we repeat information, how we digest and process information. A lot of times we don't have people on our end that's giving us the right information, and that's the problem. But just deal with it like this. White supremacy is the global operation system, as Dr. Wilson broke it down to us. But what I'm talking about now is the political part and the power part, that white supremacists, they have global networks. We're talking about the Oppenheimers, the Rothschilds, the Beers, Rockefellers, all of these people on a global level, work collectively. They don't just work in one group. They got, yes, various groups. They got the Bilderberg group. They have the Committee 300. They have the Club of Rome. They have the Roundtable Group. They got different groups, and they have different ways they carry out certain secretive things. But also, it's much broader than that, and their collective structure and power is much deeper than that. And they use the global intelligence network, CIA, Mossad, and all these various and MI6, MI5, and all the various intelligence outlets to do certain things and to carry out certain things with them. So like when I was talking about Trump, man, it was like trying to just play with words. I was speaking of what that was all about. See, because the global white power, white supremacist network, globally, Hitler became someone that they needed to carry out an agenda. He was to carry out an agenda. And he almost was successful, except he became embarrassing because he was highly addicted to drugs. Everybody know that now. He was a drug addict. And he was like this one, like just kind of like how this one is a little bit, where he don't want to listen to nobody. He's like narcissistic also. And he's like, he just is sometime in his own little personal world. And when you try to develop those types, you're going to get that out of him. And that's kind of why they let him get spanked a little bit, you know, with certain things being exposed and all of that. Because you got to understand what it is that he do and what makes him a worse Hitler. See, Adolf Hitler can't do what Donald Trump can do. See, Adolf Hitler was supposed to create a global, white, united, one nation. That's what they want. They want a one world order, a new world order, where they have one nation. And they want that nation to be white. This is true. These racist bastards, that's what they want. At the extermination and expense of all black people, first and foremost, and amongst their own people whom they consider less desirable. And that's how it is. All of us exterminated amongst their own people they consider less desirable. These are facts. That's how they want it to be. And where they develop this kind of like Mount Olympus type of environment for themselves. This is true. This is what they want and how they want it. And they boast about it. Right. They make movies. Right. And they boast about it. Like, for example, Elysium and things like that. And all these different things they put out there to boast and brag about it. It's entertainment for them, really, with their agenda. They have a transhuman agenda where they themselves are trying to just, like, live physically forever. And all these different things they do to innovatively try to make themselves long-lasting.
Right.
And they want us to be eliminated, annihilated. But the point is that everything that Hitler stood on, really, he got from America. Madison Grant's book, The Path of the Great Race, he said was his Bible. That came from American white supremacist racism and eugenicists. That's who read him. The entire whole Nazi regime and ideology that they stood on came from racism in America. And he said that his mentor was Madison Grant in his book, The Path of the Great Race, where he got everything from. He said that was his Bible. That was an American eugenicist. But the whole point, American bigot, American racist, is how they handle things. But Hitler couldn't do what they could do. When they developed King Alfred Plan, what do you think they were? They were in whole Germany at the King Alfred military base. That's why it's HMS King Alfred military base. That's why it's called the King Alfred Plan, because it was on that base that global wide intelligence agencies, law enforcement at that time, and investigation agencies and others got together to come up with a global strategy for the extermination of melanated people, the people of African descent, of black people in particular. And that's basically what that was all about. And from that, they came with different things. COINTELPRO was under the FBI's program against us, but the CIA's, MHK, U.S. military's Operation Garden Plot. And I say this about Trump because of this. What Trump could do, Hitler couldn't do. See, Hitler tried to do it, but Trump has one of the most powerful armies, not just by equipment and not just by ability, but just by feeling word. The United States military. And in global white supremacy, they built up certain areas a certain kind of way. America's might for them is their military. Israel's might for them is their intelligence apparatus. And so is the UK. And, of course, the money operations, the machinations inside of the UK. But in certain areas, they build up a certain way to carry out certain agendas. And so, in essence, what makes him more dangerous is because of the fact he got the military might to do so. And the Cracker made it clear to you this week. He says he made it clear. He told you things that in the conscious community, revolutionary community, we kept reminding you about, telling you Washington owned slaves. And the Cracker came out, he said George Washington was a slave owner. What do you think about him? And Thomas Jefferson was a notorious slave owner. This is our culture. This is our history, goddammit. You niggas don't understand? We will not remove, we don't want to remove Robert E. Lee. We're going to do what we're going to do. Understand? Where he came from? Trump's grandfather got arrested back in the day for being a Klan leader. not for being a clan leader, but doing actions as a clan leader. He wasn't no problem for being a leader, just actions that he did, and he was happened to be a clan leader. The whole entire Trump family's money comes from brothels, prostitution, and bootleg liquor. And they're a number of racists, so ain't nothing that's famed about these crackers. They're filthy, and he's filthy. He's no good. No good. And he's a traitor to his own people and a traitor to his own nation. God damn it, he sold his country out to Russia. Got Russia hacking everything, but again, on the global white supremacist level, all that is together. Think about it like this. Russia and America have never been friends. Never. Never been friends. Always Russia's the enemy. Even crackers, you look at them fools out there talking about, I got pepper sprayed by the commies. You don't like the commies, and the whole idea come from this thing with how Russia was intertwined, right? But what is goddamn Putin? He's the goddamn epitome and legacy of what you want to call that. So y'all even confuse and contradict yourself. But here's the thing about it, though. He only referred to him as that other people. Yeah. He never called a president Obama. Everybody say he always called him a nigga. But here's the thing about it, though, now, dealing with the whole fact. So they have never gotten along. All of a sudden, the great white hope come on, and now Russia and America is like this. Now, put it like this. Radical racist white folks, since the 50s, was against the U.S. government. All of a sudden, he come on, and now they support the U.S. government. So they needed him. They needed somebody that could bring all the radical whites together, that could bring the global white confusion and make it united, and there you go. So you got your mind ahead. And understand this. At the bottom of it, and the targets for this extermination is you. It is you. It is you. It is black people. Always understand that's how it started. That the King Alfred plan ain't no joke. It started on the HMS King Alfred military base in whole Germany.
They come together in thousands, like literally thousands marching around this university with their little tiki torches that they bought from Home Depot. They couldn't make their own torches. And so my whole point is, look how these white folks are sticking together to get these agenda going. They want us gone so bad that they'll do whatever it takes because they're so afraid of their white privilege being taken away from them. They are so afraid of being wiped off the planet because they are the minority. They know we are more. They've been trying to wipe us out for how long? How long have they been trying to wipe us out?
I mean, ever since, but when we
said, We ain't gone yet. It's more than
ever since they existed. But
and we ain't gone nowhere. That's how you know God's people ain't never going nowhere. They can try all they want to. We're going to always be here in the beginning and in the end.
And here's the thing that you need to understand about it. What you need to understand about this whole thing is the fact that it's not about money for them. It's not about anything that you could think of materialistic for them. Dr. Wilson made that clear to us. She said the problem ain't money because they make the money.
Yeah.
What they want is survival and our extermination.
It's a white genetic survival.
Our extermination is key. And our extermination, though it's survival, our extermination even come before they think about survival. They just want us gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't explain it so much deeper to you why that is. They have a genetic predisposition, those who are like that, the racists, the bigots, and all of them who are like that to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So at this particular point in time, you can call in at 515-602-9696, 515-602-9696. That's 515-602-96 for any final questions that you may have or any statements you'd like to make for the night.
Yeah, we know we're here late.
Yeah, so we're about to close out.
Right. We have to restart our videos because Facebook gave us enough time limit.
Yeah, they gave us time limit. I've never even heard of no time limit on
they gave us an hour.
On live, but I guarantee you.
We went all 3 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I've been like I tell you, when I was in St. Louis, we did the damn that whole thing.
Right.
So live.
Tonight,
I mean, we were out there for hours. It's about 2 hours. We was out there for much more than that. But the whole point is that, you know, this is what they do, and that's how they do it. So at this particular point in time, call in. You have any questions or statements? Other than that, we're going to close out. I tell you, same revolutionary time, same revolutionary location. We'll be in Flint, Michigan next weekend. You know, not this weekend, but next weekend. But revolutionary love and black power to all of y'all.
Right. Unity is key. We need to stand something. Can't just keep them around and let this fly. I mean, what are we going to do when these crackers come marching through our neighborhoods and in our schools and in our colleges and in our churches, mosques, temples, wherever you want to, wherever you at, they come in telling you what you're going to do and, you know, how things are going to be. So what are we going to do, you know, before then? Are we going to get ourselves together? Are we going to train our people? Are we going to get prepared and train our children? Are we going to start, you know, standing up and, you know, not being afraid to voice our opinions and voice our voices and not be afraid of what people think of us or what our family may think? It's not about what you believe in. It's not about what God is right, what religion is right. It's about us having that one thing in common, us being black people and suffering from justice.
And to Sister Brittany, definitely if you're interested, if you want to learn more, you want to join, definitely let us know. Would you like us to be in touch with you regarding that? Sister Brittany? Brittany Thompson. Let us definitely know. We definitely will do that. For those of you who may have just got on, we definitely thank you for your support, and we thank you for observing.
Thank you for tuning in. Could have been on Facebook watching in front of the video, so I started getting a fighting video, whatever. Could have been on there doing that, but instead, you decided to come here and.
If people really just great time on Facebook watching truck videos.
Yeah, sometimes that's all they watch. They try to go and look up funny videos or funny memes or fighting videos or something like that. Really, that's why I hear people jump off and I'm like, nope, I'm not going to watch this. Too long. They're talking too much. I don't know what they're talking about. So just the fact that we have the interest of, you know, some of y'all, you know what I'm saying, that's the thing that matters. So we touch something, we touch somebody, pass it on, you know what I'm saying? So we all are one.
Very good, Brittany. So definitely be in touch with you as well.
Thank Power Queen. That's what's up. And don't be afraid to create a better world for yourself and your siblings and your children.
Brittany Thompson. Okay.
If we don't do it, we will.
Indeed.
We can't do people. So call the police.
Right.
Call the police when they come marching through the neighborhood. We call the police. I'm like,
listen, they showed you the time it is. All I know is watching those videos, they remind me of like Eyes on the Prize, where it's like the sheriff, okay, y'all got 5 minutes on these niggas. Go ahead. We're going to leave the streets. Y'all will beat their ass and
yeah,
come on back.
And when we was out there marching with our armed weapons, all type of police showed up. Every police department in the county came. But
why not?
I'm talking about when police want to march up on you in North Carolina.
Well, that was a difference.
But you see how they showed up.
We put it like this. When we were in St. Louis, everybody knows that, and that's recorded. When they came out there to harass the actual, and I'm going to call her Widow, even though she has a lot of respect, and I called her that, and she was like, you know, I was just girlfriend. I said, well, to me, as close as y'all was, you know, that's what you are to me. But Darren Seals with her, okay? Mm-hmm. They were threatening her, putting a gun finger on all this stuff. When we came out there, we surrounded the whole place. And when them goddamn police came, we ran the pigs out. Everybody in St. Louis understands and knew that.
Yep.
And everybody there knew that. And we protected and secured her the whole time that we were there. And that's what we did. And any other time. You're talking about what happened in North Carolina, that whole thing, that was about revolutionary business.
Right.
That was to basically, for the most part, stand them crackers up on their own contradictions. Because, goddammit, if the law says you're supposed to be armed and they say we're not supposed to because we black fans and we black, goddammit, let's deal with it on that kind of way. So that was showing them up. That's two different things, because at the same damn time as when that situation did happen, we needed them to do. I ain't trying to put no case out, so let me not put the case out there. But we have a case against them, you know. Okay, so I'm not going to do that part. But I'm going to say this: when the media was like, "I'm Dr. Muhammad. What are you guys doing now? You guns?" I was like, "Well, we got more guns. We came out with bigger, badder, and better guns." But anyway, revolutionary love and black power to all of y'all. So that was a revolutionary move: revolution and warfare. No difference between war and warfare. War and warfare is deep, and warfare is deeper than war in the context.
Yeah, that's what we've been talking about, the Robert E. Lee statue. A lot of people don't even know who Robert E. Lee is.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we were speaking about.
Yeah.
Raleigh's, you know,
yeah, Robert E. Lee.
That was in Virginia Marshall with the Tiki torches.
Yeah.
Screaming.
And see, sometimes, you know, what they can't stand with us, and even though they know who I am and what I feel about those kind of people, because those are degenerates. They're twisted bastards, those people that was out there. But we still got to be us, because when I seen it was funny. They were funny to me. They looked like clowns. Like, what are you doing that time of night? I thought it was a guy that they was running for a fraternity or something. We will not blood and soul. Like, they got a fraternity called Blood and Soul. And what are you afraid of? That's an illusion. Nobody trying to replace nobody.
Right.
And nobody is trying to replace anybody.
They just understand that prophecy.
And if you were truly a patriot, you're lying bastards of what you claim that you're a patriot about, then you would take the statue down yourself, because they lost. The Confederacy was a terrorist government against the United States government. And Robert E. Lee was a terrorist. So you would actually, for the most part, take it down your goddamn self. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even make any sense. So it's stupid. Stupid.
That's culture.
I mean, that's just a no good, ugly, wig wearing, toupee wearing, goddamn sexually, what's what he is, a goddamn sexual predator.
Orange people,
amazing. He looked like a goddamn albino owl. But anyways, the fool talking about, you know, his culture. He told you that slavery and those statues are culture. So you know exactly where he stands. He's the president of the United States. He's telling you where it is. So it's time for us to wake up as the youth, as the Panther Cubs told you earlier and broke it down.
Right.
I couldn't do it, and we couldn't
have hope in the government. Since when have the government been on your side? Ever. None. Period. At all. None. Not ever. Not never. That's what we'll say, not never.
But not this government in relationship to us. And then it has another thing, last but not least. Understand how we are as a people. Obama came to presidency, he was everybody's president. He said that, as a matter of fact, that it wasn't no black America. He said at election night, no black America, no white America, no red America. It was just the United States of America. Trump come in, he said, goddamn it, slavery. He said, slavery, Robert E. Lee, Thomas Jefferson, that's our goddamn history. You niggas ain't changing our history. It's the stupidest thing in the world to do. Leave it alone. White power, Trump power, Trump power, and let him just walk right up and grab the pussy. But anyway, thank y'all for listening. Revolutionary love and black power to everybody. Let me see if anybody called in. Okay, so we click clear on that end. And I'm saying revolutionary time, same revolutionary station. They call in 5-1. Oh, absolutely. All respect to that. For anybody that's interested in joining the Revolutionary Black Panther Party, you can reach us at our 800 number, and I'm going to give you that.
Why are you doing that? Also, I'm going to rebuttal on this total solar eclipse. Matt Turner, he started the rebellion 100 years ago on the day of the total solar eclipse. So it means it was an uprising on that day, and it's the day of the total solar eclipse. Also, August 17th was Honorable Marcus McGarvey's birthday. He was born yesterday, so I shave to him. Also, we would love all the support and all the, you know, men, women that we can get for the Million Woman March this October 2017. Million Woman March. If you don't know about it, please do go do some research and you see by yourself. Hopefully, you can come out and join in Washington, D.C.
Ashe. And so if you're interested in joining, you call 877-235-3318, 877-235-3318, 877-235-3318. You can also reach us on our website at www.therevolutionarybackpantherparty.org. That's www.therevolutionarybackpantherparty.org. And you can email us at rbppnationalhq@gmail.com. And you can tune in same time next week for this particular broadcast. Our usual time is 9:30 p.m. Eastern. We have been actually operating on special time, 10:30, 11. But you know when we come on, we put it out there. And it's very important information we're covering. Thank you for listening. Revolutionary love and black power to each and every one of you.
Black power.
Black power. Black power.
Black power.
Revolutionary love. Black power, y'all. No, I didn't.